Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 78 days. I've had 78 days to think about what to say in this moment. You've had 78 days to wonder, what's he going to say in this moment? 78 days is a long time. And so first, I appreciate your patience. It's a long time for a pastor to wait before arriving at a call that he has accepted. But a lot can happen in 78 days. And in the course of those 78 days, at one point, I did reach for my Pastoral Theology by C.F.W. Walther. So C.F.W. Walther, for those of you who don't know, was the first president of the Missouri Synod and was also president of Concordia Seminary at its founding. And he had a lot of advice for young pastors and a lot of advice for pastors in general. And in his Pastoral Theology, there's a whole chapter entitled, What to Do in Your First Sermon at a New Call. And so I paged through it, and I looked through it, and he had two pieces of advice. He said, first, the pastor should always make sure the congregation knows what to expect from him as their pastor, what you can expect to get from me. And also he said that I should say what I, as the pastor, expect from you. And so that's what I put in this month's newsletter. I put in the newsletter the things that I promised at my ordination, the things that I promised last week here at my installation, the things that you should expect from me and hold me accountable to as your pastor. That I proclaim God's word to you fully and faithfully, both the hard parts and the fun parts. That I pray for you. That I minister to you in times of sickness and death, as well as in times of health. And that I, as your pastor, adorn this calling and this office with a godly life. And at my installation, you promised to pray for me and to pray for my family. And you promised to put the best construction on everything. And you promised to receive my teaching with open ears, always testing the spirits to see if they are from God. And so now that we've got that out of the way, I thought I would start doing that with today's gospel reading and the words Jesus speaks to us. There's a theme that runs through all of the readings today. And if you saw my sermon title, maybe you know what that theme is. Don't be afraid. Because there is a lot to be afraid of. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about all his adversaries and all his enemies, and at the end, his comfort is found in the promise that the Lord goes with him, that he speaks the Lord's word, and so he need not be afraid. It showed up in the gradual. It showed up in all the hymns we've sung already this morning. It showed up in Jesus' words to his apostles. Today's gospel reading is part of a larger section in Matthew where Jesus is sending out the 12 on their very first missionary journey without him going with them. He's sending them out for the first time to do what they've been called to do without the safety net of Jesus looking over their shoulder, without the safety net of being in the shadow of Jesus. And so Jesus focuses their efforts. He says, go only right now, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. The mission to the Gentiles will come later. For now, just go to the lost sheep of Israel. But Jesus warns them. He says, when you go to the lost sheep of Israel, you will face persecution. You will face hardship. They won't like the message that you bring to them. Because the message that Jesus sends is truth. And truth is unyielding. Truth will not exist with the lie. And so the message of Jesus is like a sword that divides truth from the lie. And it forces people to take a side. And Jesus warns his apostles that those who take the opposite side will not be content to simply live and let live. They're going to try to silence God's messengers. And so Jesus warns them, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be wise as serpents lest you fall into the traps and the schemes of those who seek to destroy you. And Jesus says, beware of the people to whom I send you, for they are going to hand you over to be whipped in their synagogues. You'll be dragged before governors. You'll be dragged before kings, all in an effort to silence your proclamation, all in an effort to silence your words. Your own family, Jesus says, your own families will turn against you, and those whom you consider friends will hate you for speaking my name. This is the pep talk Jesus gives his apostles before he sends them out on the very first missionary journey that they go on without him. And with uplifting words like that, it's a wonder that they went at all. But Jesus is not in the motivational speaking business. Jesus was there to tell the truth. And he didn't sugarcoat what was waiting for those first followers. They would face opposition. They did face opposition. The Gospels bear witness to that. Their task would be as difficult as it was dangerous. But Jesus also sends them out with the promise that no matter what hardships they endured for his name, no matter what trials they faced along the way, they should not be afraid of those things. For the final outcome was in his hands, not in theirs. They were called to faithfulness. They were not called to success. And that's the promise of comfort that Jesus has for us today, too. We are called to be his faithful people, not his successful people. So three times, Jesus tells his apostles, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of your opponents, he says. Verse 26, have no fear of them. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed. Nothing is hidden that will not be made known. You don't need to be afraid of those who speak against you, Jesus says, because the truth will win in the end, and you are speaking the truth. And so don't be afraid of your opponents. Don't be afraid of death, Jesus says. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And when you fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell, Jesus says, do not be afraid of him either. Do not be afraid of as if God does not see you, or as if God is not paying attention to you, or as if your work is in vain. Are not two sparrows sold for a single penny? And yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father. And yet your Father knows the number of hairs on your head. You are of far more value to him than many sparrows. So do not be afraid. Jesus' message to his first apostles, and Jesus' message to you. Jesus' message to me as I undertake a new call. Jesus' message to his entire church as we live out our vocations and our callings in this world around us. Do not be afraid. This is the message I'm called to preach and live in this place. This is the message you are called to hear and to live in this place. We live as sheep amongst wolves. We will be insulted, called names for speaking the truth of Jesus. Speaking our Lord's truth about marriage and sexuality puts us on the outside of society. We'll be seen as strange for living something for other than the almighty dollar, for almighty fame, for the number of followers that we can get, or the influence we have on the people around us. We will be called weak for choosing forgiveness over vengeance and grudge holding, a quid pro quo or tit for tat approach to life. We live as sheep among wolves because we think different. We talk different. We act different because we have been called out, set apart for God's work. And in this world, the word of truth will divide even your families and your friendships. Because we think different, because we talk different and live different, there are going to be those who just don't want us around. And that can be hard. That can make work hard. That can make family relationships strained and difficult. But Jesus says, don't live in fear of that. Fear not, for you belong to him. Baptized into his name, made part of his family. Fear not, for we are called to be faithful, not called to be successful. That's all Jesus asked of the apostles. He said, go out there and speak the words I give you to speak. And yes, you're going to face hardship for it. And yes, there's going to be people who don't want to hear it. Speak it anyway. Speak it in truth. Speak it in love. And let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. We're not called to be successful in the eyes of the world. One of the shows that my family and I love to watch is a show called Firefly. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's several years old. It only ran for one season, and then it got canceled, and there's a whole following behind it. But there's a scene in there where one of the guys, the main character, was on the losing side of a big war, and now he runs an independent smuggling operation. And somebody challenges him at one point, says, oh, looks like you were on the wrong side of that battle. And his response has always struck with me. He said, I may have been on the losing side, but I'm not convinced it was the wrong one. I may have been on the losing side, but I'm not convinced it was the wrong one. You see, the truth of God might not make us popular in the eyes of the world. It might not win us social favor or social points. The truth of God might not land us on easy street, but it is still the truth. We are called to speak the truth faithfully. In fact, like Jesus told the apostles, the word of God might actually put us at odds with the powers of this world. Might actually put us at odds with the kings and the governors and the emperors of this world. And if that happens, Jesus says, don't be afraid of that. So be it. The truth will win in the end. Kings and emperors have been trying to silence God's people for thousands of years. They haven't succeeded yet, and they never will. So be not afraid. We're not promised that when we speak God's word, the world will listen. As one pastor famously quipped, Noah preached God's word for 150 years, and no one listened. Jonah for a weekend, and an entire city repented. The results are not up to us. We speak God's word and trust him to take care of the rest. We're called to faithfulness. So be faithful. Be not afraid. The truth will win in the end. Nothing that is covered will not be revealed. Nothing that is hidden will not be seen. God's truth will win. All doubt about the truth of our Lord's word will be put to rest in the end. And what is that truth? It's the truth that you belong to Jesus. It's the truth that you belong to the Lord of this creation. He is the Lord of his church. And that since you have been united to him in a baptism like his, you will certainly be united to him in a resurrection like his. We do not fear the one who can dole out a temporary hardship like death of the body. Rather, we look to the one who holds the final say, and we find comfort in his hands. So that is my message to you, my first message to you as your pastor in this pulpit. And it's a simple one. Be not afraid. We're called to be faithful, not called to be successful. So be not afraid. Trust the Lord's word. Speak the Lord's word. Live the Lord's word. And embrace the joy and freedom that comes from knowing the final result is not under your control anyway, but belongs to the God who loves you, the God who redeemed you, and the God who has called you as his own. May God grant that we walk that road together in Jesus' name. Amen.